Movies and Booze on Moncrief.
Brought to you by Lidl's award-winning wine range. Lidl, more for you.
I should hang my helpless soul on thee.
Lord Jesus, don't save me.
I don't stay, support or comfort me.
Ain't gonna hurt no more.
If I should fall down on my knee.
Lord Jesus, don't save me.
If I should beg all Jesus, please.
Ain't gonna hurt no more.
Lord, leave me alone. If I'm not strong enough to do it on my kindly disregard my prayer.
Ain't gonna hurt no more.
And if I should sink or faint or fall,
Lord Jesus, don't save me.
Well, kindly disregard my call.
Ain't gonna hurt no more.
Lord, leave me alone. If I'm not strong enough to do it on my own.
Four five three 106 is our low call number. Our text number is 53106. That will cost you 30 cents. You can follow us on Facebook or Twitter or send us an email to afternoon@newstalk.com. We're coming to you today from the Strand Hotel in Limerick with thanks to Lidl. You just listened there to the Eskies, who describe themselves as a gentleman gypsy folk band. They're playing live in Coughlin's live tonight in Cork. At 9 p.m, but that's sold out, so don't bother. They're also playing in Dolan's in Limerick tomorrow night. They're playing in Ranfurly House Arts and Visitor Centre in Dungannon in Tyrone on the 16th, and upstairs in the Duke of York in Belfast on the 21st. Then they're going on a tour of the UK in Europe. They're playing in London, Exeter, Wolverhampton, Hamburg, Berlin, Prague, Wiesbaden, Vienna, Switzerland, and Brno. Mm-hmm. Brno is in the South Moravian region in the Czech Republic. They're absolutely huge there, apparently. with us on the stage, I'm delighted to say, are Serena Bellissimo and Tomás Clancy. Good afternoon to
you both. Afternoon.
How are you?
You're very welcome. I don't know how many times you've been here before.
This is my first time.
Is this your first time?
Yeah, in Limerick.
We didn't tell you the other times
you
came
down.
We also have a hashtag. Now, Ivan Corliss says this is due to various items we did during the week, but probably mostly because of the TV review slot, RTE movies is what we're doing this week. So there's bound to be a lawsuit in that one by the time I've read them all out. Charlie's Angelus is one, for instance, of that. We're going to be talking about three different movies today, Serena. What are they?
Very different movies. We're doing Boy Erased, If Beale Street Could Talk, and something completely different, The Lego Movie Part 2.
Okay, well now, the Lego Movie Part 2 is pretty self-explanatory.
Yes.
What are the first two about?
Okay, so Boy Erased is, you can tell it's Oscar time, because January, February, we're getting amazing films out. And I'd say we've probably got 1 or 2 weeks left of that, and then be ready for an onslaught of really bad cinema until probably blockbuster season.
I look forward to it.
Well, Boy Raised is based on a true story, and it's about a couple who find out that their son is gay and they send him to conversion therapy. So
okay.
It's quite heavy stuff. It's an important film that needs to be told, but it's not an easy watch, to say the least. And then another one that is also a difficult watch, but also another really important film, is If Beale Street Could Talk, and this is set in 1970s Harlem. And it's a love story at the heart of it, but it's also about the way that black men were treated. And, you know, it's set in the 70s, but it could still be set today, but the way they are treated in 70s America.
Right, okay. So is it, presumably there's some sort of storyline rather than...
Basically, yeah. So there are a young couple who get together, and I'm not giving anything away by saying the girl finds out she's pregnant and they are so excited. And then Fonny, who's the boy, he is put in jail for a rape he didn't commit. And it is up to the family to rather than prove... He's innocent until proven guilty. He's guilty until proven innocent.
Right. He's guilty of being black in a public place.
Totally. Kind of thing. Totally. Yeah. And what happened was, and I suppose this happened a lot around that time, he had a run-in with a police officer, and the police officer didn't get to take him to jail that time. So the next time something happened, he pinched. So something that was quite small and a misdemeanor, he didn't get to do anything about because other people stood up for him in the community. But this time here, something big has happened. They can't figure out who the rapist is, and they just pin it on him, even though his alibi is solid.
Where's Beale Street, and why is it significant?
This is set in Harlem. In the film, it says that Beale Street is in New Orleans. Apparently, it's not. I think it's in Chicago, if I got that right. But it's basically based on a book adaptation of the same name by James Baldwin. So
right,
I think
okay,
Beale
yeah.
Street is this fictional street that everyone says, you know, that represents the black community in the 1970s.
Right, okay.
And I know that's very generalist, yeah. But, you know.
I think Beale Street might be a real street.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to say it was a fictional street.
No, it's they say it's in New Orleans, but it's not. But it's in another state.
Ah, right.
But it is a street that actually represents the community at the time.
Okay. Tomas, we're doing three wines today.
None of them represent anything.
But wine.
Yeah, exactly, but wine. And their Oscar ambitions are very limited. Very, very limited. They're quite quiet, most of them. We have three wines, and they're across the world. They're New World wines. We have an Australian, two Australians. So I'm very worried about pronunciation with Serena here. So we'll see how I go with my Australian. And then we have a South African. What we're looking at here is really an attempt to try and evoke the style, a kind of a good iconic representation from each of these wine regions. So we have a Cabernet Sauvignon, a premium Cabernet Sauvignon from Coonawarra. And the Coonawarra Sauvignon Blanc is a very, very ambitious wine, a very interesting wine. And so we'll see how that represents that, how that evokes and paints that picture. We have a Shiraz from South Africa. And Shiraz from South Africa is a very interesting thing to do because basically they're trying to find their icon wine. You've got Malbec from Argentina, so that's, you know, very, very linked from it. And you've got Zinfandel from Napa and so forth. But you don't... South Africa is all over the place for many reasons, and we'll have a look at that. It's also fair trade, so we'll have a little talk about that as well.
Yeah, actually, that jumped out at me because, as we all know, wine producers live in grinding poverty in their chateaus in France and the like.
That is the problem. And I once sat down with the owner of Chateau Filinsegur, and he looked out over the thing. He said, we don't put fair trade on the side of our bottle at all, you know? And the reason for this is because...
again, with the accents,
yeah,
Tomas.
I have to stop. So he says, we don't put the... with this. He said, because there's no question of it. You know, he said that no European winery has the word fair trade on the side of it.
Yeah.
So what are we saying? When we see the word fair trade, we're already identifying an issue with the region that this wine is coming from.
Mm.
There is trouble in, you know, Russia. There is trouble in this region, but we're not involved in it. It's what fair trade stamps are putting on it. We're saying we're doing better than the rest of the people around us. So we'll come back to that. That's a wine for later. And then our first wine of the day is back to Australia. I think it's the one you have in your glass, that they have in the glass right now. And it's a Riesling from Clare Valley. And this is, again, something that's really counterinstinctual to people's initial thoughts about Australia, because the first thing you think about Australia is kangaroos, the outback, desert, sand, you know. Isn't that what we think when
Except
we think Australia?
If you're Australian, they're not the first things you think of.
Yeah, well, you know, the first thing that Irish people do, we don't immediately think of a shamrock every morning, but that is the way that, you know, even if it's a teal one, you know. But it's the way that many people think about us. So it's this kind of thing, and it's, you know, good day, where are you? You know, the Australian campaign demanding that people come to Australia.
Why is it you do Australian accents when Serena's here?
I don't know.
Help yourself.
She just brings it out in me, you know. I just want to say Wallamaloo for no reason at all.
But what was that famous Australian saying you just uttered there? Good day, where are you?
Yeah.
What?
Is that what Australians say? Good day, where are you?
Yeah. But this was
a hearing thing.
This was an Australian tourism campaign where they had a big picture of
where
an empty nothing thing going, where are you? Come on down.
Where the bloody hell are you?
Where the bloody hell? Even worse, you know? So this was their one. But for the Australian Wine Board, they have a good on ye, vion ye. You know, that's the kind of thing they do for their campaign, you know. I go, good on you, good on you, you know. Lovely wine here. For, you know.
And I don't know why they just don't hire you, Tomas.
I don't know why they don't do it. So completely against that, Clare Valley is in fact a verdant, green, rolling hills valley that looks like it could be from County Clare. Which we've just driven through in the rain. But, you know, it's beautiful, sweeping countryside and very lush, you know, kind of lush, in fact. And again, coastal. We don't think of most of the two wines we're looking at today from Australia are both coastal. It's the coastally influence, so they have clouds, you know. There are clouds, and it's not just all sun. And the Riesling in this cool climate comes out to be rather spectacular. And can, I think, stand up to any European Riesling that's available. And the real thing here is why to pick Riesling in the first place. And it was because the people that were actually the first few people that were out there, a lot of these were missionaries. A lot of people went to Australia, apart from the people who went there ourselves from this island with free passage, very generously given by our next-door neighbours. But then the people who came after us were Italians, small sect religions looking for peace and sort of tranquility on their own, and fruit farmers from northern Italy and so forth. And they're the people that opened up Coonawarra, that opened up Clare Valley. And they came and they saw, right, this looks just like kind of the sweeping sort of edges of the Jura Mountains. We'll plant our beautiful, you know, Alsatian wines here. So they have lots of Alsace-type wines, but Riesling is the dominant one. And I think it's a beautiful wine, and I hope it's the first of three that you will enjoy today. And this wine here is only $9.99. And if you put that into a cellar or under a stairs and left it there for 3 or 4 years, you're going to get the petroleum sort of note and edge that you get out of with acacia honey sort of dipped tastes and flavors. The acacia honey is still there. There's a little bit of acacia, tiny bit of tangerine zest in the wine that you're just looking at the first moment here. And it gets better, it gets deeper and gets more complex in this iteration if you could hold on to it for a couple of years. We won't say 10, so 2 or 3 years, and you'd be very happy with this wine.
Okay, well, that's surprising for a white wine that you'd recommend hanging on to it.
Yeah, I mean, Riesling is one of those grapes that matures. Chardonnay, great Chardonnay from Burgundy. So the Grand Cru Burgundy, Meursault, Pouligny-Montrachet, Chablis, when they get to sort of 5, 6, and 10 years of age, they take on a whole other fabulousness to them. They kind of, you get this nutty depth to them. But with what you get with Riesling is you get this petroleum note, or like old-fashioned lino that's warming in the sun, you know? Like you get that kind of lino, petroleum, jelly, that kind of taste. Now, also, if you spent a lot of time, as I did as a child, gumming the front seat in mass, sitting down just gumming the front seat in front of you.
What?
I was very young. Yeah. You're just chewing
Tomas
onto...
Tomas is chewing the seat again.
You're chewing onto the... Well, there's something incredibly boring going on in front of you, and you're just nibbling away there as a small child, and you get that kind of resin coming off the wood. That kind of that wood resin, petroleum, lino kind of note coming out. Maybe it's the wax that they put onto it just before Mass, something along those lines. And that's what you get with your aged Riesling when it's a good quality.
That's what gave you your amazing facility for accents.
That's
all
it,
that
exactly.
resin you sucked up as a small boy.
That's it.
As you know, Serena, part of the joy of this program is people texting in to tell you just how wrong you are.
And
Beale Street, lots of people texting about this, is in Memphis.
There you go.
It runs from the Mississippi River to East Street.
So it's not in New York.
No, or Chicago.
Or Chicago.
Or anyway. And actually, just this was just announced. This is a bit of cinema news. Albert Finney, the actor who was kind of part of the 60s New Wave cinema, it's just been announced that he died. He had kidney cancer that he had since 2011. He received a lot. I didn't realize how many Oscar nominations he received. Aaron Brockovich, Murder on the Orient Express, Tom Jones, The Dresser, and Under the Volcano. He was also offered a knighthood, and he refused it.
Wow.
So there you go. That's a sad bit of news, but he had a fantastic career, and he was 82. It should be said. I do want to say hello to. There's a couple of people in the audience who'd like to be said hello to. Someone's wife is in the audience now. Her name is Martine, I think. Yeah, it says, where's Martine? Okay, there's a man pointing, but you're not Martine. I'm assuming that Martine is in your vicinity. There she is, down there. Could you say hello to my wife who's in the audience today? Whereas someone's lifelong dream would be in the audience with Nelson Mandela or Barack Obama, my missus wants to be in the presence of a man who will tell her that if you use maggot poo as a face cream, because it will knock 10 years off you, everyone to their own. Her name's Martine. She was like a teenage girl from 1974 who found out she just won tickets to see the Bay City Rollers. Sorry, I ain't going to use a Beatles analogy. You ain't that good. You could have found someplace in between, I would have thought. She'll die from embarrassment, but hey, I'm not here to get the bollocking. And that's from Sean and the four loves of our life, Ruby, Jules, Bastian, and Azalee. So, Martine, will you give him a bollocking when you get home tonight?
Yeah, I will.
Okay. And it'll only get worse the more drinks she has, Sean. It's going to get ugly later on. And hello to Alona and Emma Troy in the audience. Whoever sent in this message was supposed to go, but got struck down with migraine. And that's such a shame. Many thanks, Da, says the texter. Right, we do have one movie to talk about. We're going to be talking about, what's the first movie we're going to be talking
about? We're going to be talking about the movie that's set in Memphis, but not in Memphis.
If Beale Street could talk wherever it is after this break.
Movies and Booze on Moncrief.
Brought to you by Lidl's award-winning wine range. Lidl, more for you.
I called this meeting. I had Daddy ask you all to come over so I could tell you what I had to tell Fanny today. What I had to tell Fanny today is Fanny's gonna be a father. We're gonna have a baby.
You and me? We fixing to go out and get drunk.
All right.
Oh, I'm glad. Don't worry, I'm mighty glad.
And who's gonna be responsible for this baby?
The father and the mother.
There you go. That's If Beale Street Could Talk. That's the first movie. We're going to be talking about today, Serena. It's, you know, I suppose kind of worthy, or is that dismissing it?
I just can't believe that this was overlooked in the Oscars for Best Film.
Right.
Like, it got Best Adapted Screenplay. Regina King is amazing as the grandchild's grandmother. She was nominated for Best Supporting Actress, but this missed out on Best Film. I will never understand that, because this film, I'm going to say something that is the complete opposite of each other, but it is a beautiful, one of the most beautiful films you see, yet it is so, so painful as well to watch. At the heart of it, as I said, it's about a young couple who get together. I mean, in that clip, we heard that they're having a baby, and usually when you present this news to your family, this is a cause for celebration. In their case, it's not, because the father has just been imprisoned.
Yeah.
And it's, instead of focusing on the fact that, you know, you're about to have a child, which they do also use that as a positive thing as well, something for the father to focus on too, but it is all about proving that the father is actually not guilty of this rape that he's been accused of. It's all about the abhorrent racism and injustices that existed. But this is done by Barry Jenkins. Do you remember the guy behind Moonlight, the director and writer behind Moonlight? Yeah. And that was a tough watch as well, but it was so beautiful too. And the way he has written, again, he's gone and written this, he's directed it. The way he directs it, like, you feel like you are watching art in motion. And that's not, you know, sometimes you hear stuff, you like, stuff like that and you're like, that's very pompous. But it's not. I think as a cinema goer, you are appreciating the beauty that is up on the screen, from the camera shots to the music he's using to the, like, the actors. Sometimes when they're not saying anything at all is when they're saying the most, just their facial expressions. And the two leads, Kiki Layne and Stephen James, the chemistry that those two have, like, you only want the best for these two. So you can't help. During the whole film, I was on a roller coaster. It was also, it's an interesting film as well, because he doesn't, like, in maybe another director's hands, they would have just sped it along, they would have sensationalized it, but he didn't. Sometimes a scene starts and you're there literally watching going, I don't understand why he's put this in. Like, why are we watching this? Mm. And he just lets it unfold. He just lets the story happen. Then you go, that's why he put that in there. And it just makes you think. And I think the great thing about cinema, as much as, you know, we give out about it at this time because all the Oscar-worthy films are put out, the great thing about cinema is that you do walk away sometimes and you are left with questions and you are thinking about the film long after. And this isn't a spoiler, but I will say that, you know, if this was a typical Hollywood movie, it would have been finished lovely and everyone lives happily ever after. He's not tempted to do that with this either. I'm not telling you whether they do or they don't.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, it's not a fairy tale. It's the world as was happening at that time, but you walk out of it going, I'm so angry because it's still happening now.
Yeah.
And it's how can we change it? And but at the same time, you're there going, oh, my God, this love story is so beautiful. And at the end of the day, it really is love that brings us together, and that does, I know it sounds very corny, but it is that that really makes the world go round. And this is just such a beautiful, beautiful film.
The actors in it aren't particularly well known
actors. No, so if you, you know, Julia Roberts has just done a TV show for Amazon Prime called Homecoming. If you have seen that, you'll have seen Stephen James.
Okay.
He is in Homecoming. And Kiki Layne, she had a part in Captive State with Vera Farmiga and John Goodman. But I'd say after this, a lot of people might be going, I don't know who they are, but after this, you're going to go, wow, because they are phenomenal.
Perhaps that's why it's not up for Best Movie then.
Possibly. And, you know yourself in Hollywood, it's all about the politicking and the campaigning. Yeah. And he is up for Best Adapted Screenplay. And as I said, Regina King thoroughly deserves the Best Supporting Actress. She walked away with the Best Supporting Actress at the Golden Globes and at the Screen Actors Guild Award. The pain, like, her performance is just gut-wrenching. The extremes she goes to, because his mother sort of walks away from it all, but she's seeing her daughter suffer, and so she wants to make sure that they can exonerate her future son-in-law-to-be. And it's just, it's wow, it's one of those powerful films. And then as well, it's set in the 70s. It's everything is just perfect about it. The attention to detail, the music, and it's a stunning, very painful.
It's not a date movie then.
Yeah, I would. It would be. It is
would
a
you?
Date movie. Yeah, I would do it as a date movie, because at the centre of it all is this beautiful love story that's not very corny either. You know, I don't do corny and schmaltzy.
Yeah.
So this is, no, I definitely, if you get a chance, you may not walk away going, wow, I feel amazing. But you will walk away going, just wow. And sometimes that's what you want to do when you walk away from the cinema. But just make sure you're in the mood for it.
Okay. So it probably deserves more attention than it's getting, more Oscar noms than it's getting.
Far much more. Far much more than it's getting.
Yeah.
So if this is out and you're thinking, I've seen everything else, or even I just want to see something different, go and check this out.
Yeah. The hashtag, by the way, it's already the top trend in Ireland on Twitter, is RTE movies. If Beale Street could talk to Joe, is one suggestion. Somebody in the RT social media department is getting patted on the back and I'm going, you're doing a great job. I'd like to surprise my wife with an all-out slush fest for Valentine's Day. You might want to think about this, actually, Serena. She's always been good at watching the action thrillers I love, so I'd love to have a night in with her watching any tripe she usually balls her eyes out over. Any recommendations?
I'm not really into that stuff, but I do love 500 Days of Summer. It's just turned 10. Yeah. If you haven't seen 500 Days of Summer, that's a gorgeous film. And just because they've just had a reunion this week, it's 15 years since my best friend's wedding. And Entertainment Weekly got the cast back together. If you haven't seen that, check out their Twitter and there's photos of the cast back together. So that's always a good one too.
Yeah. Somebody wants to know, are any Santa Rita wines worth keeping long term? I think the audience have their own opinions there.
There are. The Medel Real range, which is the one above the entry level, are very, very well worth keeping. But Santa Rita have some, you know, really expensive wines at the top of their list, which you would definitely keep as long as you could. But no, I mean, I think most wines benefit from age. That's the thing about it is that they are they're a living product. They get a little better, you know. But it's a curve. It is definitely something that you look out for. I love looking at the back of sort of Marks and Spencer's now have at the back of their wines on their labels. They have things saying drink within, you know, 6 months, drink within this and so forth. And I strongly disagree. I've kept wines of all, you know, prices and sizes, and they change, they evolve. So white wine is probably the one that you would you least keep, particularly if it's cheap. But red wines, all red wines can soften up, and champagne is probably the most interesting thing to do. Champagne, NV champagne, so the non-vintage champagne, if you buy the Moët & Chandon non-vintage and keep it for a couple of years, you will find it getting this kind of biscuity flavour that that is really very attractive. After a couple of years, just even out of the non-vintage. And you would normally have to pay another 30 or 40 euros to get the vintage wine to get that kind of biscuity note out of it, that little brioche note out of it. So you can do that as well, and it's a great thing to do. Problem is, it's a very expensive thing to stockpile champagne for the future. But if you're out buying one or two and you got them, if you bought them, for instance, in, you know, £26-28, the kind of the Lidl are doing, I think, champagne at that kind of price, you'll find that if you put those aside, they can benefit from a year or two just hanging on to.
Is rosé for Valentine's Day a complete cliché? If so, what should I buy to really impress the new girl in my life? Deco wants to know.
Absolutely not a cliché at all, and you'll find that in the column in the Sunday Business Post, unclichéd, as I look at rosé wines to say Valentine's Day this weekend. No, I mean, I think you can never offend with rosé champagne. Perrier Jouet rosé is a beautiful, beautiful wine, and certainly, you know, all of those kind of sparkling wines in rosé are lovely. I don't think there's anything, again, rosé embraces the spectre of amber as well, and so kind of these southern sort of provincial wines, wines from the Languedoc and Provence that are rosé, that are out there, are also very beautiful. Lost El Cars, I think O'Brien's have that, so that's everywhere across the country, they're rosé. And it has a beautiful amber taste, which is, the amber look of it is called the Eye of the Partridge in France, Ile de Perdique. And it's very beautiful, and it's like a kiss, you know. So the kiss, the heart, these things are lovely, no cliché at all. Love is never clichéd.
Okay, another girlfriend question. My girlfriend's doing her driving test for the fourth time today. What shampoo should I get if she passes, and what should I buy if she doesn't get it again?
Well, I think that it's a very, very, very serious question.
That's a tricky one. Yeah.
That's a very tricky question. I think we go, and I just a very good Veuve Clicquot. So Veuve Clicquot is by Madame Clicquot. So it's Nicole Barbe, a strong, independent woman in the 19th century set that champagne house up. So that's the one I would get for the victory and success there.
Yeah. Someone says 500 Days of Summer is not is a depressing movie, not romantic at all, unless you're trying to break up with her.
Forget about the ending, but the
rest
it is
a kind of a, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's why I really liked it, because it wasn't your cliche rom-com. Yeah.
It is. If Beale Street Could Talk, by the way, a few people text me and wanting to know again, because you spoke so eloquently about it, people want to know what it is. And finally, someone else says, I knew an Australian girl who would be convinced of the existence of Bulgaria.
What?
Yeah, that's probably what she said too. Right, we do have to take a break. Back in a couple of minutes.
Movies and Booze on Moncrief.
Brought to you by Lidl's award-winning wine range. Lidl, more for you.
Hey.
penitence as you now tell me that you must. La, 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 la. Be sure you're happy with the sentence. Be sure it's true, be sure it's just. La, 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 la. And if you remember anything from this, remember this. So much of what to say, but how, to whom and when and why and where. La, 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 la. I speak these words now like a wedding vow, though I suspect you'll never care. But if you remember anything from this, remember this, remember.
The Eskies there, obviously they're not sorry. We're coming to you today from the Strand Hotel in Limerick with thanks to our friends in Lidl. We do have a hashtag, it is RTE Movies. There's something about Mary Kennedy and Shite Hawks, of course. Serena and Tomas are with us. Someone wants to know, Tomas, I have a 1992 bottle of Moët and Chandon Champagne. What would it be worth?
Ooh, it's not going to be worth much to sell it. Because they really are sold in cases of six. When you're looking at that kind of... It'd need to be another 20 years older to sell it on its own. What you've got there is a beautiful thing to examine and enjoy yourself. It's really the kind of price you'd be looking for. If you were to try and sell it, you'd want a couple hundred euros for it, because it's about 60 or 80, when you're looking at it straight like that. But it's far more interesting for you to open that yourself than try and hock it round, trying to find someone to buy it, to purchase it off. And again, the vintage champagnes can evolve. You know, it depends. You know, what vintage they get better. Some of them are lighter and weaker, but they do evolve. The non-vintage evolve better. You know, rather better. You can more consistently in that sort of short age there. So I would just think of enjoying that. Honestly, that's not really... It's very hard to sell a single bottle. That's the advice a lot of people do ring in with that. But that's what we say. Unless it's, you know, really something exceptional, 30, 40, 50 years of age, then you go to Mitchell's, you go down to Green Acres in Wexford, and they'd be able to find some way of selling that for you. There's now, in fact, Ireland, we've established, and Mitchell's have done it. Mitchell's and Sons are the oldest wine merchants in Ireland. They're 250 years old. And they've opened up this kind of wine exchange called WineX, I think. and it's an online exchange for wine, and you can sell single bottles there. So you could chance your arm on that. And again, it won't be too expensive, because anybody ringing in previously, I'd be telling them, if you're going to do the individual, you've got to go to London, get to Sotheby's, put it up there, and really, you know, for the €40 that you get back for it, the transportation costs, accommodation, and so forth, not worth it.
Yeah.
So that's what you're looking at there. Enjoy that bottle. Open it and have a look at it.
Now, some more breaking news. Yes. We did get that text from the chap whose girlfriend was going for her fourth driving test. Looks like she's going to be going for her fifth driving test. He says, I'm walking home to what can only be described as a dark and stormy front. What wine should I be wielding under my arm?
Right. Now you go out and get an Amarone. A deep thinking wine, a wine for contemplation about the future of life as a walker.
Yes.
As a mountain climber. As a long distance trekker.
Yeah. Also, I'm afraid another sad one from David. Now, obviously, next Thursday is Valentine's Day. He says, I was wondering if your wine expert could recommend a nice bottle of Syrah to be enjoyed with my fictitious boyfriend next Thursday. It needs to improve with flavor when diluted with tears.
Well, we'll avoid Cuvée L'Amour then. I think what you want there then, you want St. Joseph on your side. Saint-Joseph. From the Rhone Valley, they have strong, august Syrah that will, you know, have a shoulder to cry on for many, many, many years. The Syrah that you get from the Northern Rhone has this kind of dark olive flavour and nice sort of spice and dark olive, and might inspire you to go out and, you know, abandon looking for Irish men and look for other people beyond who have more fascination, interest, and understanding.
Another kind of depressing one. Brexit, sorry. Will Brexit affect wine coming into the UK? I have to move to London for work in a couple of months. Great timing, I know.
Yes.
And I'm worried it won't be able to get my favourite Rhones at an affordable price. And yes, I acknowledge this is a first world problem.
This is a first world problem, but it's one that is actually, it is going to be a significant issue. It's a very significant issue, particularly, for instance, for wines from outside of Europe. Wines from in Europe, I'm sure we're going to do the same fudge. And under the document, if there is an agreement, they'll keep the same pricing for London, so you won't be punished. If there's a crash out Brexit, you'll be punished immediately, because the first people to do it will be France. So they could enjoy that a lot. But the reality is that what's really going to happen is that a lot of New World firms are actually set up in London. And they come in. A lot of wine comes in through sort of Bristol into London, and is entreported in the UK, broken up and sent around Europe. Largely because you're looking at Australia, so you've got a large English-speaking New World country outside of the EU. What they want is they have their headquarters of all of these wineries that are imported. They're in London because it's English-speaking. What we want to do is encourage all of them to come here to Dublin, set up at Limerick. Please forgive me. I'm looking out at Thomond Park here on the right-hand side and King John's Castle. Get them to come to anywhere in Ireland. Limerick, what a beautiful port city to bring Australian wine to. So they could establish themselves.
We'll be running in the European elections in this constituency.
Vote number one. So the idea here is that yes is the answer. There will be significant issues, but it's largely going to be those New World countries, because they're based in London now. They're all moving and having to ship out to other countries. The countries that are winning, unfortunately, are not Ireland, because the place to do this is really Germany. So Hamburg has already seen a lot of these companies relocate their headquarters legally to Hamburg. So the wine will come in and be in Hamburg. It'll be cut up there and distributed around. So, yep, significant issues ahead. Nothing will, it won't touch us. It's not going to alter ours at all. The only problem for us will be very expensive English wine.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well then. But that does mean that if there's a hard Brexit,
yes,
people will be coming down from the north to buy French wine here.
Yes, yeah. That's exactly right.
How the tables have turned.
Streaming across the border.
Right, we might as well move on to our second movie of the day. It is the Lego Movie 2. Here's a clip.
Welcome to the Palace of Infinite Reflection, a self-re-education celebrity center. Namaste.
Ooh,
sounds spiritual.
It is so spiritual.
Sounds like a trap. This guy's a vampire.
Attractive, non-threatening teen vampire. I like to talk about feelings and how we're in love, but can't be together. Isn't that beautiful? I'll answer that. It's very beautiful.
The heart wants what it wants.
I also DJ on the side and wear women's jeans.
Wow.
Guys, we have to stay tough and gritty.
Right, okay. Did he say he wears women's jeans?
Yes, yes, women's skinny jeans. And look, just from that clip alone, we all got a bit of a laugh. And the Lego movie, when it came out 5 years ago, we were all blown away by it because it's something we hadn't seen before. So, second time round, are you going to be blown away by it? No. Is it going to be fun? Yes. How are they going to think of a story? Well, they have, because this time round, it's all about trying to save their universe from the, it's called the Sister Space, and the queen of this sister system, sorry, is Queen Whatever.
Okay.
And she's played fabulously by Tiffany Haddish. And she's, so the difference between the two Legos as well, because you can see a visual difference between the two of them as well, is, you know, your usual everyday Lego, and then the sister system is those big Duplo Legos for the younger kids and
right,
stuff.
Okay, so this is what his sister plays with.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
okay,
so
yeah.
That's introducing that.
Yeah.
You're seeing a lot of, you're still seeing a lot of the family and stuff. Anytime, why have I forgotten her name? The one from Bridesmaids. No.
The other one?
The one who played the bride. Why can't I remember her name right now? Rashida Jones.
Yeah.
Anytime she appears on screen, and there's not a lot of her, but anytime she appears on screen, she just steals the scene. Love seeing her as like this really frazzled mother who has to deal with warring kids. So it sometimes comes into, you know, real day life, and then it goes back to the Lego universe. I went, and I think when you're reviewing these films, you have to go. I think it's very unfair of critics who review this in a cinema with other critics. You have to go to a kids' screening.
Mm.
Because this film, as much as we like to think everything is aimed at us, it's not. This is for kids that adults can enjoy as well. So I went to a cinema on a Sunday morning very early, filled with kids. They all loved it. I had my 2-year-old and I had my 7-year-old. And the two of them enjoyed it just as much. I think the 2-year-old loved, it's Lego, so it's bright, it's out there. Emmett is still being Emmett and lovable. But then there's also the dark side as well. But it wasn't, you know how sometimes they do the dark side and the kids get very scared of it?
Mm.
It wasn't scary. Then there was the massive musical numbers. And I thought that'd turn a lot of the kids off. But both boys and girls loved the musical numbers. Yes, they acknowledged everything is awesome. But there's another song, and it's called This Song Is Gonna Get Stuck in Your Head. And it just keeps going and going. And funnily enough, it's stuck in your head. But the kids love it as well because there's all these great dance sequences that go with it. They loved all those rap battles that happen. And there's Fortnite moves in it. So, like, they know what they're aiming at. And they're catering to everybody. There's some great lines there for adults as well that just go straight over the kids' head. But that's okay. It's fun. Is it original? No. Should there be a number 3? No way. But is number 2 fun? Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a fun time at the cinema with the family.
Okay, so there'll definitely be a number 3 then.
Yeah.
And somebody texted in to say to that woman who failed her test 4 times, I failed the test 4 times. Forget the wine. Buy her a bike. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Movies and Booze on Moncrief.
Brought to you by Lidl's award-winning wine range. Lidl, more for you.
Kind of thing before. I know exactly how it ends. A union shaken to its core. And we don't quite come out as friends. You will reside in isolation and fortify this sacred place. You will be government and nation, and I'll be exiled in disgrace. Ooh. You're building up walls and my catapult is broken. You're building up walls and I'm powerless to stop you. This is the very end of reason, a sentence no one could deserve. You'd see me exiled for some treason towards a crown I do not serve. Our end will not come on in violence, not steeped in glory but in shame. We faltered in the midst of silence, and in the distance it became. Oh, you're building up walls and my catapult is broken. Oh, you're building up walls and I'm powerless to stop you. Around the city walls of these, I do not see his enemies. I love the ones beyond the wall. Less of all this ranting, raving, fighting, sliding, misbehaving. Meet me with your white flag waving. That's if you'll meet me at all.
He's there with Building Up Walls. Thanks a million, lads. We'll have one more tune from them later on the show. We are coming to you today from the Strand Hotel in Limerick with thanks to Lidl. Serena and Tomas are with us. Our hashtag, by the way, on Twitter is RTE Movies. Dude, where's my Calor Cozen Gas Housewife of the Year? And Children of Men Who Work Here Already. You have to think about that one. Genuine question, why in the name of all that is holy do they pack so many famous people into an animated movie? It seems like such a waste of money. I don't know about anybody else, but for the majority of the movie like this, my brain gets tired. Trying to pair the actor behind the voice is exhausting.
I think they're just hoping that if you have an affinity to one of the actors, that you'll actually turn up. Because there was a time where famous actors didn't do animated movies, and that's taken a whole heap of work away from voice actors.
Yeah. And the Tomas, if English wines are going to get more expensive after Brexit, Porrick wants to know, how will that affect the price of Buckfast?
It will go up. It will go up. I mean, that is the thing. Not only that, as a slightly fortified wine, it'll go up a little more than you might imagine.
Right.
Stockpile now.
A fair few people like giving out about the Lego movie just because they're going to have to endure some other song. Really, is this song is will stick in your head? Is that as bad as Everything Is Awesome in terms of you can't forget it?
Yeah, probably. Yes, who am I lying to? Yes, it is. But, you know, it's fun. It's just, when I go to these films, and if it's a kid's film that I don't like, what gets me through it is I don't necessarily watch the film. I watch my kids' faces.
Okay.
And I just laugh at that.
And, like, wear earphones.
Yeah. I met someone who had a nap. Like, that's also a good time for you to get your naps in that you don't usually get in. Because
you met someone who had a nap?
Yeah, true. Yes, I did.
You've sat on this stage with me and reviewed films. You only saw the opening titles of them. Now, in fairness, she was pregnant at the time. But, you know, it was warm. Ronan says, my girlfriend is a, wait for it, gluten-free vegan teetotaler. Yes. Just wondering if Tomas can recommend a nice non-alcoholic alternative I could give her for Valentine's Day next Thursday. This is my favourite line. She's not picky.
She's not picky. Well, then the obvious one is water, I think. Yeah. Is really, yeah.
You can get her some posh water.
Yeah, there's maybe. Very posh water.
So Paula wants to know, is there any way to revive flat Prosecco? I opened it two nights ago and have a third of the bottle left. It's just not as bubbly as I would like. And short of blowing into it with a straw, I don't know what to do.
The phrase here is, ah, come on. Go out and have a look for another bottle of Prosecco. It's the most reasonably priced sparkler that we have out there. But if you did have a Soda Stream from 1975, this is your
That's
way
what
forward.
You need. Yeah. Now, somebody else has texted in to say they follow you on Twitter.
Yeah.
And that they saw that you interviewed Patrick Stewart.
Yeah,
that's,
I did.
Captain Picard from Star Trek. They want to know, what does he smell like?
I don't know, but he was lovely and he gave me some... The next film he's in isn't great, like Stay Away From It, the kid who could be king. But he did talk about the new Picard TV series.
Right.
It's going to be, he's hoping for 3 series, so 30 hours of Picard, not in his uniform.
Did he tell you anything about it? Because there have been fairly scant details.
No, all he said was it's not going to be episodic like the other Star Trek. Star Trek, I'm right, aren't
I? Star Trek, yeah, right, yeah.
Not like the other Star Trek ones. It will be a narrative. So you will follow him on his journey for hopefully 3 seasons. He's 78.
Is he?
He looks phenomenal. And he was so funny and so personable. He was there with a younger kid as well. And he was just so inclusive. Such a lovely guy.
Right. And so he said it would be episodic. Did he say what it would be about? Like, what's Picard doing? Is he riding the rails around old America?
I'm wondering, is it life? This isn't going to be an answer. Is it life before or after the Enterprise? Because he said he's not going to be in his uniform. It can't be before. Okay. Who am I kidding? It'll probably be life after the Enterprise.
Right.
78.
Tell the guy, the chap with the girlfriend who failed the driving test, he should mention to her that now she will never be asked to be a designated driver and will always be able to enjoy booze on a night out. And for good Valentine's Day movie and a proper tearjerker gorgeous film, they should watch The Bridges of Madison County.
Watch Rocky instead.
Yeah. The person texted back in, yes, but what did he smell like?
I'm just going to say lovely. He didn't stink. Do you know what? He didn't stink.
Okay, that's a positive. But yeah. You didn't get close enough to have an old sniff.
I did, because I gave him a bit of a hug.
But you didn't get anything at that point.
No. Okay, next time I'm near him, I'll
you
do a
do.
Bit of a sniff.
That should be kind of a unique thing that you do. You can rate movies.
Do you know what's
actors
hilarious?
On their smell.
The amount of people who ask you after you've met someone, what do they smell like?
Well, you'd think by now then that you might do something about it. Did you ever interview anyone and, oh...
No, see, I'm...
Have a shower.
No, thank God.
I suppose they probably have people to do that for them.
Just spritz them.
Fiona says, I love movies and booze. It always makes me unbelievably depressed as I head into work for the weekend. And as you're talking a little bit about South Africa today, can you please get Tomas to recommend some vineyards or areas to visit in the winelands, hoping to head there for our honeymoon in October?
It is a beautiful place to head to. The Constancia, I suppose, is the first place to go to. And Groot Constancia is the kind of the old, it's the sort of the heartland of South African wine, 1562, kind of set up there. And they planted the first vines for basically for passing Dutch East India boats to take on board. It's beautiful, and you can stay at many of the vineyards in Constancia. Groot Constantia itself, they have the Van der Constance, which is the kind of equivalent of Sauternes, and it's a really beautiful sweet wine. So that would be where I would head to first. Stellenbosch, university, small university town, but then surrounded by beautiful, beautiful vineyards. Again, very kind of inland. If you want to go more coastal and dramatic, you head out to the sort of the Cape, come down to Cape Town and go keep south, and you'll find a lot of very beautiful vineyards there, which are looking out onto the sea. All of the, it's fascinating, all the new and cutting edge stuff is inland and is rather ugly and doesn't have great views and so forth. But that's because these people got here first. And so that's where I would go. I would, you know, I presume they're going to Cape Town, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
So probably Cape Town rather than, you're not, yeah, so Cape Town. And so that's those are the regions that they'll find within an hour of there.
Yeah, that's okay, all
comes down to Stellenbosch.
Yeah, and do they welcome visitors?
Oh, they very much, they really do welcome visitors. They have, a lot of them are set up for, you can go out and have lunch. And my father was heading down there to a conference, and I managed to ring 50, you know, 1,000 miles and book lunch for him to go out there. And so you can do it. It's a beautiful thing. You don't have to know anyone. You just ring up and say, hi, can I book lunch and a tour? There's a charge. There's nothing. You don't have to ingratiate yourself with them. It's not like going to France where you have to build a long relationship before you get through the door. You can just say, I'd love to see your winery. You do that. They will show you half a dozen wines. And then you sit you down for a beautiful lunch in the sweltering heat looking out over a beautiful vineyard.
Yeah.
I want to go too.
Yeah. And it is sweltering heat. Yes. I was in a place in Stellenbosch once that we're going to give you chocolate with your wine outside. They didn't really think it through. You had to scrape it off the table by the time we got to it. And David did text in earlier on. Obviously, he's experienced some heartbreak recently and he's going to be drinking wine alone next Thursday. Someone says, having a romantic night in with my imaginary girlfriend. Maybe that previous texter could bring over that Syrah. We'll make it a foursome. That'll be ox for all sorts of reasons, I would have thought. Let's move on to our second wine of the day, Tomás.
Our second wine of the day is the Lidl Premium Cabernet Sauvignon from Coonawarra. And this is the one in your glass now, I think. Hopefully all poured on that one. So we're now crossing over to Australia. Now, when you look at a company like Lidl, what Lidl are doing is they have the opportunity to go and they're not a winery in Australia. Obviously, they're a supermarket chain that we have access to here. But they have buying power. And that's what that's where their advantage is. So they can go down there and they can go to a large group of cooperatives. They can go to small farmers and they can say, we'll take everything you have of this. We can take everything you have of this. And they can secure very interesting parcels of wine. They won't get, they'll be competing directly against the individual larger farmers who are already there with the, you know, well-known names, Wynns and so forth of Coonawarra, Riddick, there are many great wineries in Coonawarra. But they'll go down and they'll find the places next door to them. And that the advantage there is that whereas you're paying what you're paying for the premium is the individual sort of handcrafted skill of somebody who has broken out on their own and created their own vineyard versus somebody who would previously maybe have sold to a cooperative. So a lot of these, there's a lot of vineyard coverage in Coonawarra, and the ones that we get, the individual bottles we get here, we only get small amounts of them. So there's plenty of vineyard out there. And if you think about the Kerry Group and milk here, there's good farmers, there's bad farmers. It's all going in this kind of wash that we eventually end up in milk in the cooperative. So if you can pick out the best of these, you can actually get something that's quite superior to what you would expect from anything at a cooperative level. It won't be at the, the sort of individual, it won't be at the sort of screaming super premium level, but this premium level here, and that's what we're looking for. And ridiculously, this is something that will often be at a price that is, much undervalued as to what I think the real price, probably is. And that's because they have the market advantage for that. So this is $8.99.
Wow.
Right? Now, that wine that you've just tasted, this is a big, ripe, luscious wine. Why? This is the fruit that's been picked when it's, absolutely at the perfection of its maturity. And they have, really worked hard at this. To get that at $8.99 is ridiculously good for us. okay? I'm not, we don't want them to double the price or anything. But, you know, it is remarkable. Now, I'm always conscious, this is where the fair trade thing we'll talk about when we come to South Africa comes in. You know, you have to look and see where the price advantage is going. For the moment, it's going to the consumer in this country. That's where the price advantage is going. The farmers that are selling it in Australia, they're getting the base price for that, so that's, they're happy enough. They're getting the quad price, but they're not getting the super, premium price, I presume. But we're getting the advantage of it. So, I say, keep on doing it, and we will enjoy that for as long as we can. Coonawarra. So Coonawarra itself is a region that's around about, if you know where Adelaide is, it's over. So we're on the right-hand side of Australia. We're on the neck of the Scotty Dog. And essentially down about, sorry...
I love the look of incredulity on Serena's face. That's not Australia at all.
Well, when I look at Australia, I always think of it as a Scotty dog. And it's got, the big pointed ear up the top there. Does it not look like a Scotty dog to you? No.
I also look like a kidney.
Kidney. Well, there's a bit of a kidney.
Yeah.
Well, where the stone would accumulate is... or Adelaide, as they call it in Australia. So right about there, and about 300 kilometres south-southeast of Adelaide, but on the limestone coast. So on the coast, just in about 60 kilometres, 56 kilometres in, about an hour's drive in. But that's exactly the distance in that Bordeaux is from the Atlantic. And you get that so that this is one of the things that always held up to you, especially by producers in Coonawarra. Yeah. So this is just exactly like Bordeaux, except, of course, that, again, to go back to our friend from Phelan Segur, Chateau in Bordeaux, he said, they make Cabernet Sauvignon in Australia, and it's terrific, and I like it, but, there are differences. We have no koala bears and kangaroos hopping around Bordeaux, central city. And he said, well, they don't in Coonawarra either. This is the problem. The French are considering it as a country rather than a continent, and they're sort of misidentifying this. In fact, Coonawarra is cloudy, cool, and maritime in its climate. It's warmer because it doesn't have... Bordeaux has the Atlantic on its west side and is a V, and on the right-hand side of it, on the east side, it has the Gironde River, so it's surrounded by water. So it's considerably cooler than Coonawarra. Whereas Coonawarra has, more land, and it's rising and gets hotter. It's a bit swampy to the eastern side of Coonawarra. Coonawarra itself is kind of a little dip of a valley. It's not a beautiful valley like that, more like a sort of a dip like that. And what it's got in it, the secret to the whole thing, is the terra rossa soil. And this is it's ridiculous. It's absolutely red, orange. It's a vibrant color when you're seeing it, particularly when you see it in contrast to sort of brown earth. It does have this ochre, this burnt umber orange color to it. It's very deep red. So it's full of iron. So...
That's good for you.
Full
as well.
Of iron. Yeah. Good for you.
That's the main
good
thing.
Good for you there.
That's the main thing.
And it's good. It's free draining. It's excellent. And this is what we're looking at here. This is the product of the terra rossa soils of the Coonawarra Valley, as selected out of these manifold vineyards that they're assembling. Again, they're brought back to they're bottled there, but they're brought then back to Europe and then transported out in these kind of uniform fashion to us.
And $8.99, you can't go wrong. Somebody, Irina, says she thinks that Patrick Stewart smells of coconut, a musky coconut.
No, that I would have remembered.
Yeah, that's just the way they imagine it. Had a friend who met his heroes, AC/DC, many years ago in the early days of Bon Scott. He said they were great guys, but they smelled absolutely terrible.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, so there you go. Tip now. If you ever meet AC/DC, don't give them a hug. Right, we'll take a break. One more movie to come after this.
Movies and Booze on Moncrief.
Brought to you by Lidl's award-winning wine range. Lidl, more for you.
Or want to know that. 53106 is our text number. That will cost you 30 cents. We are coming to you today from the Strand Hotel in Limerick with thanks to Lidl. Have you ever interviewed Serena, Chris Martin of Coldplay?
No, I did interview the director of his documentary, though, which was brilliant.
All right, because Michelle on Twitter says she imagines Chris Martin of Coldplay smells like a combination of sweat, patchouli oil, and toe cheese.
I could say that.
Yeah.
And a bit of Goop product thrown in as well.
No, he looks clean. I don't know about the toe cheese. That might be a bit a bit unfair. We'll move on to our third movie of the day. It is Boy Erased. Here's a clip.
Now, this may be the toughest but most rewarding 12 days that many of you will ever face. But we have just one task, to bring ourselves back to God, to invite Him back in, to understand how He truly meant to create us before all those pieces got torn away. Now, look, I know the road here wasn't easy for many of you, but I promise a smoother ride now that you're here, because we are about to go on an amazing journey together. So who's ready? That was a question. Who's ready? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. If you know you're worth a dollar, say amen.
Amen.
Welcome to the Refuge Program.
Right, okay, that's a boy erased.
Again, now, another difficult
watch. Yeah. There's a movie, though, with Chloe Moretz in it, where she's sent to one of these re-education camps as well.
Yeah, I don't think it was done as well as this one, though. This one is actually based on, I don't know if Chloe Moretz's was, but this is based on the memoir of Garrett Conlon. Basically, when he was 19, a college mate, I'm just going to call him mate, but he wasn't, obviously, outed him to his parents. His dad was a Baptist pastor and his mum was very religious as well. And they thought that the best thing for their son was not to accept who he was, because that is what their religion told him, told them was wrong, and send him to gay conversion therapy. And it is basically a story of that and what he went through while he was in gay conversion therapy and what his parents went through as well, watching their son go through that and trying to mend relationships as well. It is a really, really tough watch. I have to admit, I ugly cried during this.
Oh, it God, snot, like snot and everything.
Yeah, because you just... But and you know when you're trying to hold it all in as well, because you know that there's people around you.
Oh, then so you like, projectile you're, snot on top of people and in like a burst of emotion. Oh,
totally, and like
backs
convulsing.
Backs of people's heads,
But what... I interviewed Joel Edgerton, who is the writer, director, and he also has a part in this film as well. And I interviewed him about this, and it was actually really interesting to see his take on making this film, because he read the book, and after he'd read the book, he said, this needs to be turned into a play, into a movie, because this is a film that needs to be seen. And he said, but I'm not the right person to do it, because, you know, he said, Hollywood, it's really good at the moment in Hollywood. Everyone's talking about representation, and that's important. But it's not only representation in front of the camera, it's representation behind the camera. But he said, when no one was stepping up, he went, as an ally, I'm going to work with Garrett and make this film. And the interesting thing when watching this film as well is, your initial reaction is you're going to hate the parents. You're going to vilify the parents for what they put their kids through.
Yeah.
But you're not, because he is saying that everyone is coming from a place of love. And just because you come from a place of love, it doesn't mean that you're doing the right thing. But not once is he trying to vilify the parents. And I thought that was really important in this film as well. Again, like the other film, it's very slow. Where Barry Jenkins can get away with it in If Beale Street Can Talk, I think this needed to sort of be sped up just a little bit. But the message is so important. It needs to get out there. Nicole Kidman, why she wasn't nominated. I don't know, she gets nominated every year, but why she wasn't nominated for Best Supporting Actress. Again, another gut-wrenching performance from her playing the mother of her son, who is watching him go through this gay conversion therapy. Surprisingly, Flea from Red Hot Chili Peppers.
All right.
He's in this and he does a good job as well. Troye Sivan is in this as well. He has a title track called Revelation, which is really haunting. This probably not a date movie, but not a movie. Like you have, I think when you go in, you have to know what you're going to expect. But again, the cinema like this is very important in our culture, because these are stories that need to be told. To this day, you'd think that gay conversion therapy isn't legal, still legal in 36 states. Only last year did we have a bill passed in the Senate to outlaw gay conversion therapy.
Which they were doing they're doing the north a bit. Yeah.
But so,
I mean, that Mormon guy who was the kind of godfather of this for 30 years just disavowed it all because guess what? He's gay.
Yeah. But
like he did the interview in a gym to be told he was, you know, to reveal he was gay. Well, quel surprise.
Yeah, but like, I really do think this needs to be told, because, you know, we think that we've come on, but we haven't come on as far as we have. And again, it's all about love and celebrating love and accepting that we are all different. And isn't that what makes us as a community amazing? All our differences. How boring would it be if we were all the same?
Well, I mean, it's a tricky thing to do, I would imagine, to do a film like that, especially if it's all from the point of view of the person who was sent to the conversion centre, to represent the parents sympathetically and understand their motivations. Obviously, they're horrified by having a homosexual in the family, etc. They think it's a sin. They're trying to help them.
It was, and I think it was really important that he told that as well, because in their mind, they didn't see, it doesn't make it right, but in their mind, they just didn't see that what they were doing was wrong. They wanted their son to be accepted by the community and stuff. So I just think this is really beautifully done, but such a tough watch, but definitely needs to be out there. And Joel Edgerton, he's amazing, like writer, director, and also a great actor too. Great Australian cast. I think because he's Australian, he drafted in all his mates, but like you've got Russell Crowe, he put on all that weight for this film as well, but unlike, he used the film as an excuse, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But
he was in preparation for this film for some years then, was he?
But unlike Christian Bale, he didn't get an Oscar nomination for it. Okay.
Best eating goes to... could you mention the name of the second wine we did there? Because Mairead's on the way to Lidl right now.
The premium Cabernet Sauvignon from Coonawarra in Australia, and you'll find that in Lidl stores nationwide.
Just listening to the wine buff about the Clare Valley, there's a big Irish connection to County Clare. Yeah. There's a big Irish connection to County Clare. Yes, there is. I would have thought so. The Van de Lure family, who had a big estate in Kilrush, moved to that area after the famine and have a winery there to this day. They produce a great red called Shannon Ridge. I can't get it anymore, but I bought it by the pallet when I could.
Absolutely. And there's a McWilliams out there that's really Irish connected as well. So there's about five Irish wineries in Clare Valley.
Flea was in Back to the Future. He played the character of Needles. I don't know. I can't remember it either. That person who was Fiona, who was going to South Africa, do the Bosch and Dahl picnic in South Africa. It's fantastic. Warwick Estate in Stellenbosch is another texture, is stunning. Yeah. With their Cabernet Franc is sublime. 2013, especially, such an underappreciated grape. They say. Geraldine, this could be for the fella with the vegan girlfriend. A nice alcohol-free wine, Naturo. It comes in red and white. I drink it as I'm teetotal. You probably wouldn't like it, though. Seems fair. Has your wine guy ever been to the Okanagan Valley in Canada? Beautiful area and lovely wine, small vineyard. So unfortunately, I don't think you can get it here, says Colette, who's in the car on the way back to Sligo.
Unfortunately not, is the answer to that, I have to say, tragically.
Yeah. Right, well, we'll take another break here because we've one more wine to talk about. And I'm sorry, I'm doing this twice now, but these things are coming to us during the last 2 hours. There's another death. Except this one is a bit closer to home. This is Arthur Murphy, you will remember, who presented Mailbag. Oh. Artie just announced that he died age 90. So rest in peace, Arthur. We'll take a break, back in a couple of minutes.
Movies and Booze on Moncrief.
Brought to you by Lidl's award-winning wine range. Lidl, more for you.
Five 3106 is our text number. That will cost you 30 cents. You can follow us on Facebook or Twitter or send us an email to afternoon@newstalk.com. We are still in the Strand Hotel in Limerick with thanks to Lidl. Serena, Tomas, and a very happy audience obviously still with us. Ian wants to know, are there any good meaty reds that Tomas could recommend that we can enjoy at my rugby party tomorrow? I have a load of blokes coming over with madness in their eyes, ready to trounce the Scottish and in need of a wine to match.
There are many good meaty reds. Well, first of all, I think we can actually recommend our Cabernet Sauvignon here from Coonawarra. Get out there. That is a meaty red, and at that price will be enough for an entire army of warriors there. But no, meaty reds, you know, go to the Languedoc. Have a look at Grenache and Syrah from the Languedoc, and you'll find, again, the Cas, Lost Hill Cas, Grand Van, O'Brien's, widely available. Very, very good. I would recommend that. That's a hearty, beefy red like that. Or go over to Zinfandel. Look at the Vintner's Blend Zinfandel from California. What you don't want to do is buy anything from the middle of Europe, Bordeaux, or Burgundy at reasonable prices, because you will not find the meat, fruit, and ripeness that you're looking for there at that kind of price.
Okay. Since you're in Limerick talking about movies, says Marty, and Marty doesn't then go on to mention the, you know, the big purpose-built studio that's here in Limerick, and there's a new series on Netflix there. That was made there. Marty says, did you know all the bikes for Irish blockbusters over the past 30 years are from Palace Green? Movies like Michael Collins, Wind That Shakes the Barley, etc. Great feather in Limerick's cat, says Marty. There you go. Limerick is the bicycle capital of filmmaking in Europe. Flea is excellent in The Big Lebowski, says the texter.
I need to go back and watch
missed
all
that one too.
I have to admit, yeah. I missed him in Boy Raised until someone went, do you know that was Flea?
I'm just back from my honeymoon in South Africa. Was just wondering where, if possible, can you source some of the wine from the vineyards in Franschhoek?
It's tricky. I mean, what you want to do there is look at specialist wine importers like Kinnegar in Galway. So look up kinnegar.com online. You'll find the website for Galway. Specializes in all kinds of specializes in South Africa. And you'll find Franschhoek there if you're finding it anywhere.
Right. Okay. Well, let's move on to our third wine of the day then, Tomás.
Our third wine of the day is the little premium fair trade Shiraz from Paarl in South Africa, 2017. Again, this is a wine that is pitched very, very much at a price that I think is quite exceptional considering the fruit that's here. It's again, it's $8.99. So, I mean, I think it's a very solid wine for $8.99. Now, this is, it's hot. There's a heat at the back of this. There's an alcoholic heat, and that's not surprising because it's 14.5% alcohol. So there's real weight here underneath this fruit.
You can see how people are starting to get off with each other already. Yeah.
So it's definitely a mood shaper in terms of this. And again, we
Sean, Martin's gone missing. We don't know what's happening.
We can recommend it for tomorrow evening as well to our friend looking for his 30 mates to come over. What we have here is, again, South Africa has had a terrible time in terms of its sales and its image across the wine world. Under apartheid, it was embargoed. So you couldn't get the wine, and all the wine was there. That was there was really the large cooperatives, KWV, were running this, running the whole industry, and they ran it into the ground. They ran it poorly. They ran it like the post office was running the wineries, and they ran it centrally. And eventually, they looked for economies of scale, and they started looking at sort of varietals like Chenin Blanc and Pinotage to be the hopes for themselves. Easy, high crop, nothing to do. You just plant them, pick them, crush them, and that's what you get. Plus, since there was no importation in South Africa, and they were just feeding their own internal market, everyone was, you know, that's what you got. There was no complaints. No one was saying, could you make it better, worse? Is there anything? That's it. So apartheid collapses. We get the wines flooding out into the world, and people bought them really, I think, in sympathy. There was a large part of sympathy. You were buying them to endorse Mandela's release. You were buying them to endorse the apartheid regime's fall and so forth. And that didn't help either, because an awful lot of terrible wine was purchased, and they thought maybe we can just continue making this under big branded names. All the time, however, there'd been these wineries that had tried to struggle and survive under this regime, and that's they'd kept these high-quality wines. It's not a new world wine region. They've been making wine since 1640 or 1650 in South Africa. So what you're looking at is a very mature situation, a very mature country. So there's no one single grape that you can point to, because they've had 500 years to find that Cabernet Sauvignon works best in Stellenbosch, that Chenin works brilliantly in sweet wines in Constantia, etc. Paarl, Syrah, works well in Paarl. But it works well in Swartland as well. There's some great stuff going on there too. But what we've got here is actually, I think I would have named it Syrah. I would have named this a Syrah wine, because I think it's actually like a more opulent Côte de Rhône than it is an Australian Shiraz. There's no black pepper here. What you've got is deep, spicy, tarry sweetness and richness. And I think it's a very, very brilliant wine for the price.
Yeah, indeed it is. Thanks very much, Tomas. Niamh is here with us to tell us about some good things to do this weekend. Niamh.
Hello. So if you're staying in tonight and fancy a good old cringe at the telly, the Late Late Show is doing their infamous Valentine's special this evening. So if you're unfamiliar with it, they get a bunch of singles. It's a popular choice. Yeah. Ready to mingle. They let them go to town in the hospitality suite and lock them into a studio to shift each other, basically. It's given us gems in the past, such as Dino. You might remember he was feeling exotic at the time, so anything can happen. It's a big treat to watch unfold on Twitter as well. So RTE1 from 9:30. Six Nations, Ireland versus Scotland is on tomorrow. Murrayfield kickoff is at 2:15. We're totally going to win, right? You're going to want to get into your favourite watering hole long before that, though. Comedian Danny O'Brien is bringing his Lock In Live show to the Station House Theatre in Clifton tomorrow. Tickets are £16.20, available at cliftonstationhouse.com theatre. And Quarter Block Party is set to inject colour, life, energy into Cork City from tonight to Sunday. Wander the exciting range of pop-up and public art events in the shops and outdoor spaces to discover some of the freshest high-calibre artists in music, theatre and dance. This year, it's going to see it expand all across the city for the first time. Pop-up events happening in unique locations all around the place. Quarterblockparty.com for details of venues and prices. And the wonderful Eskies, who you're about to hear again. They are sold out in Cork for tonight, but you can catch them in Dolan's in Limerick. Yay! Tomorrow from 8 p.m, go to dolans.ie for tickets. And after hearing them once more on the show today, you want to be quick because you want to see them live in person because they're deadly.
Okay, excellent stuff. Thanks, Niamh. And I just want to say hello to Sarah and Kate, who are in the. Where are Sarah and Kate? Oh, can't see. Oh, there they are. Yeah, they're. It's always. They never put up their own hand. Somebody just points at them. Sarah and Kate are in the audience. Now, they're on the way to a hen. Whose hen are you going to?
Our sister Becky.
Right, Becky Fitzgerald. For the next, and where Fitzpatrick, where are you going to have the hen?
We're off Dennis Diamond.
And are you bringing your mother as well?
Yeah, totally. Okay. Yeah. All right. We have a bag full of penis headbands and we wanted you to get one, a selfie with you.
Right, okay. That'd be a selfie moment for Mammy, I should have thought, yes. Right, well, we'll take it handy, at least for that. And thanks to all of the audience for coming along. Hope you had a good time. Thanks, of course, to Serena and Tomas. Always a pleasure. To Stephen and Ronan, all here at the Strand Hotel, for looking after us, as they always do when we come down here. Thanks to Lidl for the wine, of course, and our production team, Shifra Donovan, Mark Ryan, Jennifer Laura there, who's pointing her phone at me, Paul and Andy on sound over there, Simon and Quilly back at base, and, of course, Niamh Hassel, Anne-Marie Kane, and Claire Collins. Ivan's up next on News Talk. Have a lovely weekend. We'll talk to you Monday.
Should stick together, there are wolves among the sheep.
All's well that ends unwell.
I know now what I've done, but at the time of doing it, I didn't know what doing it would do.
Sheep.
This should not come as much surprise.
All's well that ends unwell.
That in a world that runs on ointment, there are those who deal in flies.
All's well that
done, but at the time of doing it, I didn't know what doing it would do.
Shame,
shame, shame, almighty, would I speak your name so lightly?
Shame,
shame, almighty, set me free. My finger on a thorn I found stuck in your side.
All's well that ends unwell.
And as I nursed my little wound, you bled out on the floor and died.
All's well that ends unwell.
But I know now what I've done, but at the time of doing it, I didn't know what doing it would do.
Shame,
shame, shame, almighty, would I speak your name so lightly?
Shame,
shame, shame.
my prodding I was blind to see.
All's unwell that ends unwell.
That I was hurting you much more than it was ever really hurting me.
All's unwell that ends unwell.
I know now what I've done, but at the time of doing it, I didn't know what doing it would do.
And Booze on Moncrief.
Brought to you by Lidl's award-winning wine range. Lidl, more for you.